Okay, so tonight we begin in Proverbs chapter 27, and we are in verse 9. I would like to take a hot minute, because we do have someone new, to kind of explain the sheet. Basically, this is our roadmap. This is not an inclusive list of all of the topics that are covered in Proverbs. In fact, we started with only half of this list when we started this process. But what we do is we'll read each one of these Proverbs, we'll pause, ask what it's even saying, and then what does it mean and how can we apply that to our life, or what does it look like in our life in reality, and then we'll take some time and we will apply, for example, let's say verse 9 goes to faithfulness. It shows someone's faith. You know, we would write that verse number down.
I think I will.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can't. I got a little bit closer, but it wasn't close enough.
Well, I talk really quietly too, yeah. So come on up here. And between my wife and I,
house, my husband's loud. You hear him loud and clear, but thank you.
So the other thing we have here is a turtle, and the turtle's purpose is to be passed around, and if you would like to read, you keep the turtle, and if you don't want to read, you pass the turtle.
Okay.
That's easy. So we will start in chapter 27, verse 9.
See, I'm part of the turtle club.
You got a haircut. It looks nice.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And perfume.
Ointment.
Oil.
Ointment.
Ointment? Mine says oil.
Oh.
Oil and perfume make the heart glad. And the sweetness of the friend comes from his ear nest?
Counsel.
That's an ear nest.
Sincere.
Earnest.
Oh, earnest.
Earnest.
Yeah. Oh, earnest. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I will never read that word again and not say
earnest. Earnest.
Is that what you said?
Yeah,
I thought
it was earnest.
I know.
I was like, what's the earnest? Earnest.
Okay.
Wow. I love it.
I was going to say, I was thinking the same thing, Margie. Thank you, Scooby.
Thank you much.
We have a lot of comic relief here.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's awesome.
I love
all right.
Earnest.
That's why I said, what's that? Earnest. That's what I'm talking about.
Earnest.
Earnest. Okay, that looks...
I kind of want to read that word a lot now. I'm going to
I'm sorry.
No, that's great. I love it.
Earnest happiness.
So, what are we kind of describing here in this verse?
It's not an earnest, that's for sure.
That is for sure.
I think it's describing sweetness of the friend that comes from his earnest counsel.
Okay.
So I think it's like one of the friends that you can like go that you trust because it's a counsel. It's like one of the friends that like, oh okay, and you know he's been here like forever. It's all like a recovery. Where you can go to like find a sponsor. That's that sponsor account holds you accountable, gives you wisdom and knowledge where to go. And you're like, oh, I don't think I would do that. Sometimes the sponsor will be like, what does God say about it? I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. What can God say to you? Have you ever talked to God? So like friend, kind of like a disciple that you trust too. So
good.
I always think of it, kind of like what you said, Scooby, you know, in the morning when, you know, you're getting ready for work and you throw on some perfume, you know, you're just like, it sets your mood sometimes. You're just like, okay, I'm ready for the day. It smells really good.
There's some more confidence.
Yeah, I think there's a sweetness about it, you know, that...
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, kind of like what you said, Scooby, with your example, to have friends that have that type of reaction in your life. You've got friends that you're like, you love it when they call. You love it when they give you counsel. Hey, you know, don't look, here's how I would look at it instead of that way. And you're like, oh, I didn't think about that. You know what I mean? It's, you've got that person, you just know that your interaction with them is going to be that, the sweetness.
Good. So what categories could we assign verse 9?
You won't put too much perfume on.
Or, I mean, think about a flower. Think about the fragrance of a flower. It's their, you know, it's kind of that same thing.
I was kind of curious, why do bees go into a flower for the honey and everything else? Or the pollen?
That's their job.
That's what they were created to do. Yeah.
They were created to go into the flower and pull out the pollen, because, and to pollinate other like flowers and spread that all around. And then they take that back and they make honey.
Oh, that's perfect.
Survival.
Yeah.
Nice.
Of everything.
I started off with friends, the obvious. And then good life.
Good life?
Yeah.
Good?
Joy.
Down in your heart.
Joy, yeah.
You could even go down to counsel, because it's talking about...
I'm supposed to put 9 there.
Yeah. It's fine. Counsel. And if you don't want to, that's fine too.
Okay. I'll get the hang of it. I'm slow.
It's okay.
See this white hair.
I'll put accountability.
Okay. Too. Good. Accountability?
Accountability. That one was up at the top.
What about commitment?
That's a good one.
I thought to be a good friend, you have to be committed to being a good friend.
Yeah.
There's also some...
I think it encourages us to have those kinds of friends.
Right. Causes us to look at the kind of friends that we have, and yeah.
I think if we are that kind of friend first, we'll have those kind of friends.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
And then it's also, I think it has, to be a good friend, you have to have humility and not talk about that private stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have to stay humble. And I also have to have patience too, I think, for patience.
Mm-hmm.
What is the last that I have?
She hurt her foot last week, and it's not broken, but...
she has to stay off.
Severely sprained.
Why was she doing okay?
Lesta.
Oh.
Lesta should be on our prayer list too. We'll pray for her at the end.
Yes.
I think it also goes down here in the bottom along with, you know, this section where we call this is our God, this is the things like God.
Yes.
You need a compassionate friend to be that way. Someone who's compassionate. Mercy and someone who's willing to honor you.
Honor.
Yeah. Good.
Here we go.
Verse 10.
Ooh, we get to hear the Tom version. Oh, yes. All right.
Don't forsake your friends or the friends of your family. When disaster strikes, don't expect to move into your brother's house. A neighbor nearby is better than a brother far away.
That's awesome.
I'm just going to throw something else in there.
Oh, awesome. Is that your staff?
Huh?
So what are we talking about here?
That's
the best thing. Lean on each other.
Yeah.
It's not just family to lean on. It's friends and community.
Yeah. It's this whole idea of church, right? We lean on one another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, leaning on one another. Good.
We pick each other up when we're down. Someone's down, everyone back up.
It was interesting, in one of the commentaries I was reading about this particular verse, they said it would be foolish to drive. They gave this example. You have a neighbor that lives 1, 2, 3, 6 doors down, close neighbor, and it would be foolish for you to go all the way across 3 states to go live with your brother than to live with this good friend. You know, to move in for a hot minute with this good friend. It would be foolish on my part to do that, you know, if we ran into a problem or whatever, to go away from this place where I have this community of people that are supporting me now, and to run away from everything, that would be foolish on my behavior, on my part, as far as a behavior, unless you can't get the support that you need, right?
Right. Yeah. There's some neighbors that, like in my little neighborhood, I can't believe the feuding going on. And it's a country road, a gravel road, and the feuds between these people is incredible.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
And in this case, we're talking about a neighbor. We're talking about a good friend. Yeah. But yeah, I might not go to my next door neighbor, but I'd come to your house, right? I'd come to your house. I don't know you enough
yet.
You
can come to mine. Come. I'm close.
Yeah, I think most people, especially Christians, are willing to help out. They want to.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be upset if I thought my neighbor needed something and he couldn't come to me to get it. I'd feel bad about that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's so funny because in our neighborhood, if anybody needs a tool or they know to come knock on our door. So I think they're not going to go, like Tim said, to 2 towns over. Hey, Dad, can I borrow your Sawzall? But Tim's got one. You know, that's a minor example, right? But I think that's kind of what they're talking about. You know, like you said. You're not going to go up, you know, to Portage to your brother's house to ask for help if our basement floods. We're going to call the people that, you know.
Yeah.
I think going along with that, you know, I got a plumbing leak. I'm going to call my plumber right away. Well, no, call your friend who's the plumber first.
Yeah.
Or the mechanic. Right?
Exactly. Having that community of people, whether it's close or, I mean, far away is okay, but I think having the community of people in general is
I think Solomon kind of wanted everybody to realize they needed to invest in one another.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, keeping in mind, this is the king of Israel putting down this proverb, and hey, don't go all the way over here to get some help. We need to help each other. It's kind of like the whole idea of the church.
Well, and I think Margie said it too. It's not just about family all the time.
Right.
You know, it's, you know, the church body, the, you know, your neighbors, it's more than just family.
Good. So what categories would we assign verse 10?
I think duty too.
Duty?
Because as a Christian, it's our duty to help others. Maybe you don't want to use the word duty, but I would.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's, yeah.
I think the entire number 2, you could put it. Well, all those. Mm-hmm.
True.
Oh, everything into that category?
The whole number 2, I think, falls in there somehow. Because we should be, the way to start that community is to be the person that does that and is the friend and the person that you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Kind of going back to the duty thing. That was really good. I'm like, oh, I haven't used that one enough. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm like, it's part of what we're supposed to do. It, like you said, is the friend, the family, the neighbor,
I also found that it was, for me down here, it required self-control on my part And it required discernment on my part. Not as the friend, but as the one who needed the help.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, choke your pride.
Yeah, choke my pride down and realize, hey, exercise a little self-control and realize I need a little help here, right?
Sometimes it's hard to ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, one person said to me, you don't have to come on the wise counseling thing sometimes. You know, you're all prideful when you don't ask for help. And it's kind of like one of those things that I just opened my eyes and I'm like, whoa, what? You're prideful when you don't ask for help. Which means that when you don't ask for help, you're trying to go and do it your own way and not doing God's way, and that God help you out by putting somebody to help you out.
Yeah.
So there's kind of those eyes open and like, whoa.
Well, and I think if we get in that state, sometimes we miss opportunities to encourage others.
Exactly.
You know, to have them come alongside and help when it may be just the encouragement they need as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, to go along with that. Yeah. I think we've gotten away from that as a society overall.
We have. It's like when it's how you raise somebody or where'd you come from or something like that. Because the society doesn't like to ask help or nothing like that. They wouldn't do anything their way. Oh, sometimes I hear it's my way or the highway, or sometimes it's my way or no way at all. So they just don't want to give up the self-control or prideful self. Sometimes giving up your prideful self can do good in a long way.
Mm-hmm. Good. So verse 11.
My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me.
Hang out, Eli.
See what reproaches says for sure.
My commentary says that for that second part, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A foolish son is the cause of insult and reproach to the parents. In some way, the son who rejects wisdom makes the parents look bad.
So reproaches, my dictionary says, means addresses me with disapproval or disappointment. Yeah, so he's saying, my son, be wise and make my heart glad so I can, you know, when someone speaks poorly about you or disappointed, I can point out how great you are.
Exactly. It kind of goes back for those who, in Matthew or one of the Gospels that Jesus was teaching, he was saying, for those who criticize or persecute you, they persecute me too. So that kind of goes back to what that was saying.
Exactly. It's the same concept, only...
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Only this, they're different talking words. Parent, they're talking father and son,
yeah.
And in that case, our heavenly father to us.
To us, yeah.
So, yeah. Was it in Matthew, you said?
I think Matthew. It's in one of the Gospels, I don't know. It's actually all four of them, but he goes much deeper than one of them. I can't imagine which one.
So what categories would you assign verse 11?
Parents.
How about children?
Children.
Yeah. Parents and children. Any others?
Instruction.
That'd be good.
I say honor, because, you know, it. Mm-hmm. God's word says we're to honor our parents.
Yep. It's down the bottom right. Yep. What about blessing? I kind of saw this as a father saying, hey, be wise, be joyful. The blessing is when people are talking badly, I can praise about you, right? And I think there's a measure of love and joy that go with this as well. On behalf of the father and also the parent and the child.
Any kid who knows their parents approve of them with great joy.
Yeah. I will say, when I was doing the study on this, and I think I mentioned this last week, thinking that we would actually get to this verse last week, we didn't, clearly. This one was hard for me to read, only because Crystal and I, we lost our fathers about 23 days apart. It was still recent, within 8-9 years. I call that recent, because I'm not little yet anymore. And you just have this wonder if you're measuring up to that. For me. Not that I'm doubting what he taught and what he encouraged me with, but that sometimes it's nice to hear from your dad.
I started to mention that earlier, that sometimes we get really caught up in pleasing. We just want to please our parents.
Yeah.
Make them proud of us.
Yeah. And so in my life, what I've had to do is realize that it isn't my dad who I need to be looking for that from. It's my Heavenly Father. Thank you, sir. You're quite nice. It's my Heavenly Father that I need to focus on. Is He going to say, good job, I'm proud of you. Hey, things are really rough. I'm going to talk about this. We're going to look at this. You know. And I'm not a perfect person. So, you know, fortunately, I don't surprise God. He knows. He already knows that. Right? And He stands there and goes, just wait for you to come back over here. Right? Sometimes it takes a little while. Any other thoughts on that verse? Any other categories you would assign it to? I think we hit most of them.
How about honor?
Honor? I like that. Honor. With that, you could even say integrity. Mm-hmm. Honor and integrity is over here, and honor's there. Yep. Verse 12.
A sensible person sees danger and takes cover. The inexperienced keep going and are punished.
Okay. What are we describing here?
So
common sense, he says.
I was scrolling through Facebook today, and
when did you have time to do that?
Oh, I know. Don't even.
No kidding. I was walking up and down 39 steps.
I happened upon this picture of where, imagine you've got workers who are out doing cement work, and a person decides that he's going to be really, he's got a cool car. I mean, it's like Mustang Charger type of, you know, muscle type car. They decide they're going to drive through the concrete and they completely and totally get stuck. And all the workers are looking around like, what were you thinking? And he's like spinning the tires and the whole nine yards. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what part of that even made you think that was a sensible idea? And that's when I read that verse, I was like, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. Simple pass on and are punished. He punished himself. He totally was not prudent. Totally was a simple-minded man. I'm going to go through this concrete. And it was fresh enough to where he literally just sank and spun his wheels.
You know, on the way home, we had an experience like this.
Oh, yeah.
So we were leaving. Yeah, I was not on Facebook. I was driving.
Okay, fine.
So we were, I had the trailer on the truck, and we were rolling through 10th, well, what?
We
were on Tibbs. We were on Tibbs, and they had a one-lane road. Mm. The sign man had it said stop, so I pulled over, stopped. He turned it to slow. Go, right? Go slow, up ahead. So I pull out, and I'm starting to go, and literally this whole line of cars are coming towards me now. So
you could back up with the trailer.
I couldn't back up, so I had to weave it in between two cones.
Wow.
And I didn't even knock them over. Right? But we had to take refuge from the oncoming
traffic,
vehicles.
Yeah.
Right? And then so I'm looking in my rearview mirror waiting for him to turn his sign so I can go again.
So he was not just not paying attention.
No, he wasn't paying. He literally waved me off.
And
I had pulled over and stopped, come to a dead stop, and he turned the sign slow, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. And oh my.
I think he turned it too soon.
Yeah.
I don't know that him and the other guy on the other end of that one-way path were communicating real effectively. But
their walkie-talkies weren't working.
Yeah, their walkie-talkies were not working, or whatever method they were using.
Yeah. Sure.
So.
You might have been dyslexic.
I think that goes to show you that, you know, if something does look like it could potentially be unsafe, probably is.
Yeah.
So just, I think it's...
Be prudent. Step out of the way. So what?
Go ahead. I would say, as someone who's probably in the inexperienced category most of my days, I think of, like, work where it's, I don't know what this means. I'll go to the 30-year vet or the guys who are doing this 40 years and, you know, hey, is this added up? Don't you dare do that. You need people with common sense to teach common sense.
Yes.
Not as natural. We all know it's not as natural as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah.
When I see the word prudent, I think of teenagers who take all kinds of risks because they think, oh, that'll never happen to me. Oh, that'll never happen to me.
Yeah.
Oh, speed limit's 50 on this windy country road. I can handle it. I'm never going to wreck my car.
Don't
say never.
So what categories would you assign verse 12?
Counsel.
Good.
I'm going to go the obvious one, simple.
Simple? Yeah.
Fools.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Fools. That would be another good one.
Yeah.
Humility. 12.
What was it? Humility?
Yeah. Humility.
What about, would like that prudent be more along the lines of that, that self-control discernment category again?
Yes. Self-control, discernment.
What about contentment? Don't
yes.
you have a certain amount of contentment to be able to say, yeah, the temptation's there, but you know what? I'm gonna pass.
Contentment?
Or just knowing that I don't have to be that adventurous. It's like, yeah, I don't need to cross that. I don't need to. Yeah, it's okay.
I don't want to.
I wrote it down as an illusion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can have an illusion in our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's right here.
That one. Accountability.
Yeah.
That falls in there, too.
I can't find it.
It's at the top right.
On top. Bye-bye, people. On the right.
All right, so let's read verse 13.
Take his garment when he becomes surety for a stranger, and for an adulterous woman, hold him in pledge. Take his garment when he becomes surety for a stranger, and for an adulterous woman, hold him in pledge.
Okay, so this goes back to the idea that when you shake hands and make a deal, they exchange something. And if there was, especially if there was money involved. And so this was the money that, you know, hey, you're gonna pay this off. You're gonna give me a couple of bucks, and I'll pay you back. So in that light, you would take his outer garment, his outer cloak, or I hate to call it a robe because it wasn't, but like, you know, whatever the outer tunic was that he had, then you would hold that as security for him to pay that back. But then on the other side, you would hold it as a pledge for an adulterous woman or a wayward woman, is the way it says in the NIV, a wayward woman. Someone who's adulterous, you would actually hold on to. She would hold on to that material, kind of like what was the guy's name?
Oh, what?
I know.
He promised.
Yeah.
His,
the woman.
Yes.
The woman who was not taken by the
brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I so I apologize.
Can't think of his name either. Or hers. I know.
It's just, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember that one either. I'm like,
this is what Pastor Nate needs to be here for, so he can fill in.
You know, that story.
Yeah, that
story.
Well,
she comes to collect because she wants him to marry her, and he doesn't. So she goes and plays the adulterous woman so that she can get his ring or his cloak.
Yep.
To prove that her point. So
this is my baby, and here's
right.
his staff.
Yeah.
Here's his staff, and here's his ring.
Yeah.
Oh, those are mine. Oh, you were that
yeah.
woman. And that's and then it
yeah.
becomes
so
his.
That's
hey,
an example
I'm
going
to have
that.
To know this, where this story
yeah.
is.
We just had it not too long ago. We just went over.
Story of Tamar?
Yes.
That's
Genesis
it.
Genesis 38.
Yes.
What is it?
Tamar? Genesis 38.
Genesis.
Tamar.
Okay. I can't
so
remember.
So Jared's oldest son.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe I watched it on a show.
Owen.
I don't know.
Owen.
Recently.
Well, my commentary describes it like this. Normally, a garment given in pledge was only a symbolic collateral and was returned immediately. But not if the one making the pledge was unreliable or a stranger.
Hmm. Okay, that makes sense. So in that makes it make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, it does.
So if Cody needed a $10 bill, you know, he would give me his coat, and I would just give it back to him because he's trustworthy. But if Crystal needed a $10 bill, I'm not sure I'm going to give it back because I want to make sure I get my $10 bill back.
Okay, well that makes a lot of sense.
That's much better.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So where are we going to try to put this verse? This is verse 13. Of chapter 27.
I think discernment.
Yeah.
Because you have to be very discerning, you know, whether it's, you know, who you're doing business with type of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Good. I agree with that. Justice. What's that?
Justice.
Oh, justice.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Good.
Plan? I think, like, you know, it's feels kind of a plan, you know, like.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Pay attention to the plan and follow the plan.
Be careful of the plans you make.
Be careful of the deals, the plans you make.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Can't be real.
All right, verse 14.
If one believes his neighbor with a loud voice clearly in the morning, it could be contained as a curse to him.
All right. So what are we describing here?
Even if you say something nice, if you do it in an annoying way, it's not going to be accepted the way you wanted.
Right. Right. Can you imagine? So I got a neighbor who leaves the house at 4:45 every morning. And if he were to honk his horn and yell out the window, "Hey Tim, have a good day!"
That would be
at 4:45 in the morning. That's not really the right. He's being nice and he's being friendly. And he's how does it describe it here? He's loudly giving me a blessing. But it's more like a curse because he's waking me up, right?
And the other neighbors.
And the other
exactly.
And maybe I enjoy it, right? So maybe I enjoy that, but the other neighbor may not.
But it's a curse. Because The way mine says it, says he who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him.
Yeah. So this is like somebody calling you. So say your alarm goes off at 7 o'clock and, you know, people start blowing up your phone at 7 o'clock because that's when you get up. You're on for the day. But if somebody's blowing your phone up at 4, 5, 6 o'clock, once in a while that's okay. But when it's every day, it just gets annoying, right? That's what we're describing here.
My commentary says excessive. That excessive flattery.
Yeah.
Is, you know, kind of to his point, to his question, you know, that excessive. You're kind of going over the top.
Yeah.
It's almost a curse in a sense because it gets to the point where it's just excessive and annoying.
Okay.
Now, I have a buddy who calls sometimes at 2 or 3 in the morning because he can't sleep. He's going through some rough times. And when he calls once in a while like that, I'll take that phone call if I hear it. I'll take that phone call, right? Because I know he's in trouble. But if he were to do that every single day, then that would become
excessive.
I get it now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, 100% get
it. That's not being courteous to someone else's schedule.
I think another way to look at it is. If you're blessing your friend in the morning with a loud voice, maybe it's well, bothersome for one, but it could also be like you're calling, you know, it's like if I called you out in front of everybody every morning, it's like you're gonna do great today, you know, the Lord is leading you, and then you fall off, and then it makes you look even worse because it's like they're depending on you, they're calling you out like you're doing such a good job, and then you can't live up to it always.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. There you go.
It's hard to live up to a blessing every morning to be called out, I guess.
So, you're telling me that if I don't feel like, one, so I'm like, when you go to a nursing home, pots and pans, I'm like, and like, they all sleep, they're like, good morning, everybody, bing, bing, bing.
You might not be a blessing.
I'm going to tell you this. They'll beat you to the breakfast table. They will beat you to the breakfast table. That's funny. All right. So what categories would you assign this verse? Verse 14.
Gentleness, goodness.
Good. Gentleness, goodness.
Blessing.
14.
Okay. Gentleness. Where in the world is that?
No.
Gentleness is in the row of number 4. Goodness is right above it.
14. Okay.
14. You also have kindness, which is in that row number 2.
Patience. Self-control.
I even landed on kind of going along with the curse thing. I kind of felt that was under disrespect.
That's what I put.
There you go. I was going to say.
I put that too. Like,
14. Yeah. Disrespect.
It's really, it's a form of disrespect. Yeah.
And you said friends and neighbors. Yep.
Friends and neighbors.
Friends and neighbors. All right. We'll do the next two, which is 15 and 16, and then we'll call it a night.
A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand.
I gotta read mine.
I was gonna say, that's all over the place. Okay, Tom Virgin, let's go.
A nagging woman is like a dripping faucet on a rainy day. I'm gonna stop her like we. Restraining the wind or dripping something with oil on your hands. Sorry.
No, that's ta-da. Yeah.
Different words.
Wow.
That's probably one of your favorite
puzzles. Do you think Solomon had a nagging wife? Sounds like it.
Well, too. What?
Well, I think he had a few.
I'm sure he did.
He spends a lot of time on this subject.
Yeah.
He does.
He's a man who had 700 wives and 300 concubines.
I mean, think about the misery.
But I mean, I would hate that.
Right.
But how many verses have we come across that he's talking about this contentious woman thing?
Yeah, it's like a contentious person.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah.
And to clarify, we said from the very beginning, when we see this contentious woman, that's what he's experienced, right?
Or even when we see a verse about a man.
Yeah.
They really mean either or.
Yeah.
But he's also talking to the young men, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's
right.
Talking to the young men. And he's saying, hey, look.
But I like the part where it says, restraining the wind, which we can't restrain the wind.
Right.
It's impossible. You can't grasp oil.
I tried last weekend. Went right through my hand.
So I think he's almost telling us that it's futile. It's not. I think in the verse that, you know.
So I guess one way to look at this is to say, okay, so what do we do with that contentious person?
Yeah.
Since it's literally futile to try to restrain their behavior.
Good luck.
Right.
Don't marry them.
Do what?
I said don't marry them.
Don't marry them. Yeah. Exactly. That's a good start right there.
Say marry
them,
but
don't marry
them. Oh. You said marry them. Okay.
Well, there's things
you can do.
Put 15 and 16 on them. Men, husband, woman, wife.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So verses 15 and 16 can definitely be applied to husband and wife or men and women together in these categories, right? It's both ways, because I could probably be contentious, I think.
We're
going to turn into marriage counseling.
So the constant dripping on a day of steady rain. So if you look at it like that, it's comparing to the woman, and this is the way I see it. It's comparing to the woman, and it's saying that you can't, basically you can't restrain the wind, right? So even if it's not necessarily a woman that you're looking at, there's, if you got a drippy roof, there's things you can do. So I would look at it as like a self-control thing, because you could potentially fix that or not marry her. You could potentially like, okay, I'm going to repair this roof or repair this damage from this quarrelsome person in my life. How do I do that? I've got to take some action. But also at the end of the day, it's out of your control how that person reacts.
If you quarrel back, they don't have anything to quarrel with.
Right. And I think we saw that in a statement before, where, you know, if you just restrain yourself in the quarrel, giving my wife eyes.
Put it on forgiveness.
Yeah, forgiveness. Good. That's one of those steps that you can take, right? I like that. 15 and 16, forgiveness.
I get used to the dripping rain.
Or get used to it. Is that what you said?
Well, if you forgive them,
yeah,
you could get used to it if you don't react and just, you know, I know people that have done that in their marriage.
I found that in the workplace that if you don't quarrel or give fuel to people who are quarrelsome, over time they will eventually quit quarreling with you.
Yeah. Judy made the statement, patience. The category.
I like the way you said it. Don't give fuel to it.
You can also put down as counsel too.
Good. Wise counsel.
Wise counsel.
Patience.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Kindness.
Yep.
I've even gone so far with people at work who'll be say something mean or hateful, and I'll just like totally change the subject and say, "Oh, you look really nice today." Give them a compliment, and then they're like, "I really don't know what to do."
That's fun. Yeah.
Especially on the spam calls, also fun too. Like, hey, how are you doing today?
That's a good idea. That's what they say to do to children that are misbehaving. You just totally say, hey, Santa Claus is outside the window.
Yeah.
Or whatever. You know, just disconnect the...
Like, make a
disconnect.
Yeah. I don't see them.
Yeah.
So along that line of... do what? Yeah.
Gift from God.
Yeah, we could do that.
I think this is why when you're in relationships, you need to, you know, beware of where each other's spiritual maturity is at.
That's for sure.
Where they stand with God and what like this. Mm-hmm. Spiritual maturity is the same thing as, you know, your own maturity. Being able to talk through something, because it's, I mean, if you, again, if you have a nagging wife or you're in an abusive relationship, there are signs. Maybe moved a little too quickly. There's a reason we need to vet these things, you know.
Yeah.
That's true.
These things. Yeah.
Good. I guess the only other two that I, well, the other three that I had was in this line of forgiveness. I think sometimes there's an illusion, much like what your description, you know, you're in that relationship that's very bad, and you create this illusion that you can resolve it, and you can't with someone who's quarreling, right? So, sometimes that's a truth, and we've talked about that, and that's unfortunate, mm-hmm. right? It's unfortunate. A lot of that has to do with the category of pride. But then when there is opportunity, taking compassion, being compassionate with that person, and that would be the last category that I would say, you know, if you can at all manage some compassion to work through that. I think tonight was a great class. Any thoughts before we kind of wrap it up? We're a little over time tonight.
I'm amazed at how we continue to talk through or come upon verses where it's always go back to God's character in how we treat people. I think that's, I'm amazed by that. Using, you know, the character of God to treat people, no matter if they're contentious or if they're fools or, you know, whatever it is.
Is 16, how it talks about oil with his right hand, and right before that, in 9, it says oil and perfume make the heart glad. So it just kind of, it's just almost like that oil or that perfume can be good, but it also is gone. You know, it's pure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so I just thought I was just kind of reflecting back on that a little bit.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because it's like if you put on perfume,
it only lasts so long. Right, true, true. Yeah.
Can't hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. I found out that verse.
You did?
John 15.
John 15?
Talks about persecuting. John 15.
Okay.
Cool.
Let me write it down.
Well, let's have a word prayer, and then we'll just be dismissed.
Don't forget to pray for Lesta.
Yeah. It's on the list. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for all of us who were able to come around the table this evening. We know it was a warm, hot, long day. But Lord, still, you are awesome, and you are such a breath of fresh air. Lord, I pray that you would just watch over us this evening as we have taken the time to study your word, look at it a little bit differently, and talk about it, and identify these categories of your love and what you show us and how to behave. We thank you, Lord. We do pray for Lesta. We pray that you just watch over her and heal her foot, that you would allow her an opportunity to serve again. And Lord, we just pray that you would just watch over us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're the talking turtle?
The talking turtle?